I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Friends, also known as Dukes and Bell, with Carl on a permanent vacation. Mike Johnson,
hey man,
from the morning shift jumps in. Former Falcon, you hear him with Squid and with Allie. And we jump right in with Coach Raheem Morris, live from the Ticketmaster Studios. How you doing, brother? How you holding up, man?
You know, it's not about holding up in this game. It's about, you know, finding a way to make everybody around you in a better place. And, like, I got a really great team. They got a really great attitude. When you got guys like Bajan, you got guys like Drake, you got guys in this building, the Chris Lindstroms, the Jake Matthews, you know, they know what they want to be. And we got to find a way to get there, and that's what we'll do soon.
Coach, I played, obviously, for a number of different coaches in my time. Mike Smith had a different way of dealing with things after a loss like this. Nick Saban had a different way of dealing with things after a loss like this. What would you say that your coaching style is coming off a loss like we saw this past weekend?
You know, those things that you have, when you have those kind of bad losses, you got to go look at the tape. You got to go evaluate it. And you got to see what went wrong in the plan. And it was really clear. You know, when you come out from the second half, you're in the type of ball game you want to be with a 6-6 game, and that thing turns to a kick return, and then you're going on an ensuing drive, and you fumble in the red zone. That thing turns to a 14-point game pretty quickly. And as you know from playing in the league, that's not our style of play right now, and that wasn't favorable for what we wanted to do. So the thing went awry, and you got to make sure you don't let that happen moving forward. And those are good learning lessons from us, right? Like, everybody's got to be accountable to those moments, and you can't blink when something bad happens. You got to find a way to get out of it.
I know you already spoke with the media coach about, you know, special teams, and you said it. I mean, you had a blocked field goal, you had that kick return. From where I was sitting, and I know you kind of talked about, look, we got to have our heads right for Tampa Bay. Sometimes it's just human nature. You feel like shoulders drop a little bit, and some of the team goes, here we go again.
I'll tell you this, you know, like that was one of the moments that happened. You know, I can definitely say that, you know, when the kickoff return happened after the team is fighting so hard, and then they go out. I love how the offense responded, getting the ball, going back down there. The fumble happens in the red zone, deep in their territory, where you can go make that thing, you can nullify it. But when they get the ball back, go down and score, they get the 14-point lead, you do feel a little bit of a low. Now, the guys picked it back up, they still fight, and all of those things, but, like, you can't have that. And this league's too good for that to happen, particularly against a really good football team like we played this week.
I'm curious what did happen on the field goal, because I was watching it, and I'm hearing echoes of Keith Armstrong in my ear going, hey, you can get run over. Just get run over at 1.3
seconds. Get run over slow. That's exactly
slow.
Right.
I was curious because I'm watching it. The operation, was it slow? You know, Bergeron's out there playing the wing. Are we tight in the splits? Because it can be in any number of things. It seems so simple to, I think, people watching it, but there's so many minute details that go into that situation.
The operation was clean. We got to do a better job on the edge. We got to go, like you just said, you got to get run over slow. You got to be bigger. You got to do the things you need to do right there in order to happen. Keith Armstrong, that I was here with, lucky enough and fortunate to be with, I can hear all those same coaching points. You know, and to be honest, that the first one that we got off, he was really close to that one as well.
He was, yep.
And that should have been a correctable moment where you can go back and teach that thing and get it done the right way on the sideline and get a little bigger right there. But we were not able to do it. So when he got that block, you know, all of those things you watch guys fight back from, but got a little overwhelming for the guys at that point, especially on that second fumble.
Coach Raheem Morris with us, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios, jumping right in today on Dukes and Bell. You know, special teams, it's all about attitude, and guys make careers on special
teams. It's not.
Guys, they get their pensions for sticking around in the NFL through special teams in some cases. Where's the pride? I mean, where is the pride in that unit?
You know, I won't say it's the pride thing with the guys. I mean, it's a lack of execution for sure. There's some things that's not getting done that you got to get done. You know, obviously you got to go out and you got to figure out how to get people on the ground at all times. People do make careers out of it. You know, we know Eric Weems. He's one of the guys that takes the pride in everything. Like, these guys have pride. You got Mike Ford out here who's, you know, potentially up for, you know, a Pro Bowl ballot, you know, and how he's playing. So it's not a pride thing. It is an accountability to everybody doing the jobs at all hands, all deck. Yeah. And no matter who's in there, right, you can't make excuses about backups. You can't make excuses about injuries. No matter who goes in there, you got to get the job done. That's the importance of knowing what your job is and how to do it and how important every job is.
Where do you turn? I mean, because otherwise, if it's not practice squad, I know you don't want to be forced to use starters on teams. Is that what it comes to?
You know, I don't believe in that. I think you got to go find ways to win no matter what. So whoever can go out there and help you get it done, we'll do that. You know, you got a chance to see Watt out there, young Xavier Watt out there, go and play. We've seen Jalen Walker go and cover kicks. You know, all these guys are starters. All these guys do what they got to do. And you got to get the guys out there that can make the plays. And if it comes from practice squad, with people getting opportunities, that's where it comes from. I mean, I'm sure you got a better example than that than me. But, like, I've seen people walk on from practice squad and really make significant improvements and significant advancements in their career and go out there and make it happen.
Anton Smith was one of the best. He was a gunner. Golly, man, I used to love watching him go to work.
I did not. I was in Tampa.
I know that. No, that's right. He was unbelievable to watch do that. I'm curious from your standpoint, what did happen with the defense in the second half? And you mentioned it, things get off the rails. They make adjustments. I'm watching the first drive. I go out there. AJ makes, you know, he's got good, you know, posture on the first play of the game, force the guy out of bounds. D. Alford steps up, makes a tackle right there at line of scrimmage. You know, James Pierce gets the sack. Jalen Walker's in phase and like a spy technique. I mean, it's beautiful. The first drive's beautiful. The first half, right. I mean, as the game wore on, though, obviously they were able to have more success. What do you think changed for them offensively in the second half?
When they got the 14-point lead, they put you in kind of harm's way. You know, you're basically playing four-minute ball. And you're basically putting yourself in harm's way, having to load the box up, thinking you're stopping a run. And that opened up explosive plays by Cooper Kupp and Smith and Jigba, to be honest with you. You know, you can't make excuses for that. You still got to go make those plays. But we definitely had to put ourselves in more susceptible ways in order to try to get back in that game. They didn't let us. They hit the explosive plays. We didn't stop those guys from hitting those explosive plays. And then that's how it got out of whack.
Yeah.
But you got to keep that game in arm's reach in order to win games versus good football teams, as you know.
Yeah.
The third downs continue to be just a nightmare for 1 out of 13 for Kirk. The good news is you're getting Pitts more involved the last couple of weeks, just not translating in the red zone and scoring. And then Mooney's play is almost indicative of the whole damn season.
The red zone last week was kind of the outlier, you know. From the red zone, from the weeks prior to that, we had been really rolling, really pride ourselves on running the ball in the end zone, and watching Tyler and Bijan do that over the last 5 to 6 weeks have been outstanding. You know, where the problems lie is in third down, and we gotta have plays made by our wideouts. You know, Bijan made the first third down, the third and two, made a nice move on the edge, got the ball in his hand, really got us going. The next third down, we end up getting a PI, getting moved down in there. Those things don't count as a conversion, but it happened. The next one, we get a real opportunity on a zero blitz. We get a 70 protection, as you know. We slide to that thing. Didn't get a great slide, but still got the ball up with an opportunity to cow. Well, you got to make that play. And if you make those plays like he made later on a play similar to it, that's how you move the ball on third down.
Is the Mooney play just kind of like an example of the detail and not being detail-oriented?
I don't think it's detail with Mooney. More so with Mooney, it is the fight of coming back off of how important it is to have your offseason, how important it is to have your training camp, how important it is for you to get going the right way so you can maintain throughout the whole process. And we've been off a little bit there all year, so fair enough criticism. I definitely agree with that. But – we got to find a way to get him back, and we got him back just for a glimpse of what he can be and what he is versus New Orleans, and it's got to be more consistent for us.
Coach, I'm curious to get your take on what you do think this offense is missing. I've been screaming from the mountaintops for more screens, and you guys have definitely tried to do that. Zach's done a nice job. Get a couple batted down at the line of scrimmage. The holding call on David Sills, which is really ticky-tack on the Algier screen.
God, I love your honesty. Can we get this guy every week? Because you can say that. Yes. I cannot.
Yeah.
It's tough,
man.
Come on.
It was brutal. It's tough. It was brutal. And, you know, I think I look at it and I'm like, man, because you're right. Between the 20s, it seems like the offense is cooking. And
rolling.
You start getting near the red zone and things start happening. What do you think this offense is missing? What would you like to see more of from this group?
I'll talk about this week in particular because we had got things going in the red zone, like I just mentioned. This week, the penalties killed us in the red zone. We had a holding penalty on our young DT. We had another holding penalty. Not young D tackle. Young
Devin
DT.
Thomas.
Yes.
Yep.
We had a holding penalty on DT. We got another holding penalty you just mentioned on the screen game that kind of really set us back. And when those moments happened, we had to settle for field goals, and those are the things that kill you in the red zone. When you have negative plays or you have penalties, those are things that kill you in the red zone. Those are the things that we had not been doing. So we're able to score some touchdowns, being able to run the football in, being efficient, being effective, staying on track, which we have to be, right? We got to get better wideout play, right? Missing Drake right now hurts, and we haven't played particularly well on wideout, so that's how you struggle in third down world. So, like, right. When that happens, you got to get guys to make plays, and one of our guys is Cal Pitts.
I guess could you use Bijan even more to help out with it?
Tough ass.
I know he's doing everything. And the fumble.
The man's got 1,000-yard rushing. He's got 500 yards receiving.
And the fumble was so uncharacteristic. So you can't yell at Bijan. He's the heart and soul of his team.
you can. And Bijan, you don't have to, is the difference. You know, like there's nobody going to be more accountable than Bijan. And, like, I felt, probably like all of us, felt bad for Bijan. Like, you know, that's one of the people you check on after the game, make sure he's okay. But he's got such a strong faith, such a strong religion, such strong belief in himself that, like, he's going to bounce back. And, like, I can't wait.
I think the same things when you say that. How much more can you use him? Because I think there's a point where you guys are 3-2 and we go empty backfield. And you throw the slant to him to pick up the first down. Right, right. And I'm going, no, don't go empty. Okay, yeah, throw it to Bijan. Yeah, that's a good idea. Good idea, Zach. I love that play. And I don't know how you can get him more involved already than he is. I thought, you know, some of the designs were him were really, really nice this past week. You guys have played Seattle a couple years in a row at our place. It's been decisive victories for them in both of those. What do you think Seattle's gotten right over the last couple years with that team and the things they've been able to do?
You know, I think their GM has done a really nice job of doing what we're trying to do, you know, build it up front. And right now, going out the last couple of years, being able to get Rook and Dulles in last year's draft, building our front on defensive line. This year, going to get Jalen Walker and James Pierce, really building the front line. When you look at that front line over there, I mean, they've got backups as first-rounders, you know. Yep. And like, it's what you need on both sides of the ball. And then they went out this year and really did a nice job of really, you know, parting ways with DK, but bringing in a guy like Cooper Kupp and really being able to make Smith and Jigba his number one.
Yeah.
And then on offense, once you get that rolling, they got two backs in the backfield, which we are very proud of what we've done. But they built that thing the right way. They've gone out. They got their quarterback in Sam Darnold. He's really been able to be efficient, really be able to get the ball down the field. You know, he's had his games where he's been questioned, which is always going to happen at quarterback.
Sure.
It's just the nature of the beast. But I think they've done a nice job of really building the football team and then going out there being able to execute. And this year, it's really shown up in a major way.
Yeah. It's head coach Raheem Morris, guys, live inside Ticketmaster Studios on Duke Sabel with Mike Johnson. Tampa Bay, you're getting him after.
Why does Mike Johnson get like this cool?
Well, it's kind of like
Divine
Diablo.
No, you know? I mean, that's Mike what I'm Johnson. Saying. Like, you can't just say that.
We're gonna call it Mike and Mike in the afternoon. Like, that's what we're gonna go with.
That's been used.
Yeah. Well, they're mornings technically, but yeah
exactly. Yeah, there you go.
But no, man, this Tampa Bay team. You know, if Koo doesn't miss the field goal, we maybe go to overtime. Maybe if we're talking, it sets the tone. I don't know how things would have gone if we pulled that game out, but it's a division rival, and they've been dealing with injuries, but now they get some of their guys back.
That game was one of those games like where you felt like your team was where you were supposed to be. I remember you guys remember the third play of the season. We throw a check down to Bijan, and he shows Boom. What he is right away, right? And then at the end of that game, I don't know if you remember, but our quarterback, Michael Penix, went to check Superman and started scrambling around, dove for a few touchdowns, ran into another one. Got us closer than the other ones, made some really good throws in that game, especially versus their zero coverage. They came out in the base package, really did a nice job of settling us down in the run, not us running 11 personnel. Did a nice job there, right? We did a nice job on defense coming out, really established the fact that we can rush the pass this year. It was a great game. And then we miss a kick at the end of the game. And those things are all hurt. Right. And they all those things happen. But you never know what happens, like you're talking about, if you can find a way to win that game. One game, you know, and like it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So no crying, no spilled milk.
Coach, it's another Thursday night game against Tampa. You go back a year ago, a little over a year ago, to the Thursday night game where Kirk throws for over 500 yards. You go looking back at the stats last year in that game, it's a lot of the same people. And obviously Drake was a part of that game and, you know, had 150 yards receiving. But Darnell's the same way, I believe, 8 or 9 catches. What's the biggest difference in this offense last year as opposed to this year at this point in the season?
You know, it's hard to say, but it's not the timing. You know, like, we're probably not built to throw for 500 yards right now. We weren't built to throw for it that night. Yeah. That was what was needed to win the football game that day, right? We had to go out and throw. They were able to stop our run. We found easy completions. We were able to gash a couple of their blitzes and some zone pressures. Things felt really good, felt smooth, moved dramatically, got into the red zone and scored touchdowns. Played well enough on defense to win it at the end and got a big time going to overtime and executed at a very high level to slap it with the timeout. I know you guys remember
right.
Spiking that thing. I don't know what happened on the penalty after that, but we got the long field goal. things happen the right way. And when you got that kind of momentum and people make plays and you find out ways to finish, right. I think that's the biggest difference in what's happening right now.
When you have the weekly meetings with Arthur Blank and he's asking you about, you know, what happened, is just what do you say? It's like, it's just simply, it's a matter of execution?
No, Mike.
We dialed up the right stuff and the players didn't do their jobs? Or where do you draw the line on that?
You absolutely don't do that.
I mean, you'd say, but honestly, you just say that what you say to us. You say, look, Mike, it's on me. I didn't have them prepared.
The truth is bulletproof, Mike. And that is your statement, right? So, like, yeah. When you go into this game, right, every time we go play a game, there's a what it takes to win a game, Mike, right? I know you haven't played a sport in a long time. You look like it. But
oh, no, hold on. Now, you don't have to take shots.
That wasn't
saying.
A shot, Mike.
I mean, look, everybody competed at some level out there.
We're old, Mike. That's all we're saying.
All right, man.
We haven't done it.
But I'm saying, what do you say when Arthur's –
You got to find a way, right, to win a game, right? You give them the what it takes before the game.
Right.
And then you go explain what happens after the game, right, if you're able to do those things. Like last week, we had to limit explosions on defense. And in the second half, we did not. And exactly how you talked about it. You had to go find a way to get the ball back off of Sam Darnold to be able to win. That's how you've won football games, right? That's how they've been beaten. We did it in the first half, and after that, it was kind of downhill. Wasn't able to continue to get those things done. And no different in an offense. You had to come out and run the football, stay on track. We stayed on track the first half. We missed a couple field goals, but the score was 6-6. It could have very easily been 14-6 if you just do better things, a little bit better version. And then on special teams, you had to go out and cover.
Right.
And it really hurt us. So, like, when you're talking about these things, these are in real time. These moments that he knows he's in the box looking for, so we don't see those things happen, it's not having to make the excuse. It's telling them the truth on what happened on the play and why those things didn't get accomplished or got accomplished.
Right.
And those are the things about the media. You never want to go in there and, like, make up stuff, you know, like
right.
You got to tell them before the game.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Coach, real quick before I let you go, I did notice, and I mentioned it, you know, the first series, Jalen Walker backs off the ball. I think you're looking for Sam Darnold to pick up some first downs with his legs last week. Baker Mayfield has done that a ton of times against us. How much of that translates what the game plan was a week ago to kind of what Tampa's able to
first,
do in the quarterback spot?
First game of the season, you know, Baker's definitely a problem that way. And a lot of the quarterbacks right now in the National Football League, just in general. But like you just mentioned, having somebody always paying attention to him. Like the first game of the year, I know you remember the big time tackle on third down, and I think 9, Caden Ellis made in the middle of the field. I think it was on the first third down of the season. And then he was able to hurt us later by breaking a few tackles and get out the box and how you control the rush lanes and how you want to organize your rush to make sure when you do have a four-man rush, when you're not looking at them, that these guys are organized up front so he can't get out. And then if you do allow those guys to be free and free rushes and get up the field and do some different things, you better have a guy looking at him. And when you're looking at Baker, he's better be a guy that can actually tackle him, right? Baker's not a guy that's going to go out there and be an easy tackle. We know that. He knows that. One of the toughest guys I've been around in football, being out there in L.A. with him. And he looks for those moments to shine. And he's done it, you know, this year at a very high level for the most part.
Last year, one of the coolest plays, that touchdown to Mooney down in Tampa. Hopefully we'll see some of that on Thursday
night. Oh, man. The double post that we kind of threw up to him, and he went up and made a great grab.
That was the prettiest throw of the year last year.
The prettiest throw of the year last year.
Dropped it right in the bucket. Right? I talked about it with Arch at the time. It was kind of nice.
It was a good throw. The throw up the sideline versus Tampa 2 versus the Carolina Panthers, Michael Penix made the red.
Dropped it.
Was a
bucket.
Pretty good one, too.
Yeah.
But it was some good ones. I'll give you that one.
Good luck.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Oh, your team is your team of your 53.
I thought you pointed out a good thing, and he didn't answer it quite like I thought he would, where you talked about guys playing with their hair on fire. I do think that that's part of it, personally. I mean, I think that when you look at the beginning of the game and you look at the defense, the way they were playing, and you look at the second half, I think guys at the beginning of the game in the first half were playing with their hair on fire, and I think guys were just kind of content in the second half to do their job. And I think that things are different when you look at special teams. So, interesting conversation. There are guys on special teams that are playing with their hair on fire. Felipe Franks had a couple good plays and things like that, and we'll break into it throughout the show, but yeah, man, a lot of fun. Big conversation with Raheem.
I know that this team, it's basically five or six plays every single game. We've talked about that with Coach, and I've argued about it with Arch. You know, we talk all the time about, you know, you dialed up the right play, but you don't execute.
Yeah.
But this team was 6-3 last year. I understand once Penix goes out, why can't Cousins get dialed in? Is Drake just – we know Drake is a rock star. But the other receivers, some guys have – we saw Pitts get involved. Why isn't Cousins finding it like he had it last year?
Well, I think that there – first of all, I think that everybody got a chance to see what Zach Robinson's scheme was at the beginning of last year. And I think the more they learned about it, the more that they learned what the personnel was in, you know, the second half of last year, you were doing things a little bit different. By the time you put Penix in, I think that things kind of changed a little bit. He was able to make some plays that Kirk wasn't. I do personally think that Kirk is in a lot of ways dialed in. I think he's made some good throws. I think you do have to make contested catches in this offense, and wide receivers have to do a better job of getting open. I don't think you're right. Seeing that. So I think that Kirk's played fine. There's some things that I hate about what Kirk's game is right now. It's one of the things I brought up to him, the batted down balls and the screen passes. You just can't have it. If you dial up the right play and the screen pass is there and they're blitzing you and you're throwing right into it, you got to get it over the guy's hands and have somebody catch the ball and get upfield.
But when you talk about the league, kind of seeing what we're doing, that gets back to some of the things I think Kurt Warner's talked about. Initially, the first guy was Orlovsky. He was doing those video breakdowns, and everyone's like, well, who's Dan Orlovsky? Well, he did play in the NFL. But it seems like the predictability, that's one of the things that Drew Brees talked about on the broadcast with the Saints. But Kurt Warner talked about it. So how do you get more adaptability to, I know, what's the phrase? Smitty used to say self-scout. So you're not doing the stuff that they can see coming.
Well, I think that I used to have this conversation all the time with Bo Morgan on the morning shift, and we would talk about people calling out the play calling. And my conversation with that always, it's not the play calling, it's the playbook. It's the depth of the playbook. You run the same run play. I mean, basically, if you're in, you know, if you're in pistol with Charlie Warner in the backfield, you're running the ball. If you're in shotgun, you're throwing it. I mean, everybody in the NFL could see that for the longest time. I will give credit. I have harped on Zach Robinson until I'm blue in the face on the morning shift. But I will give him credit over the last couple of weeks, with Kirk in the lineup. I do think he's made some nice changes. I think they've had some wrinkles in the backfield. I think they've had, you know, pistol setups where Tyler Algier is in the sidecar and doing different things with some split blocking schemes. So you got to go out there and execute. And you got to have guys offensively that can create their own space. And you have to, you know, kind of know where your assignments are and stay off the penalties. Mike, we play station-to-station offense. That's what it is. You look at some of the other offenses, some of the good offenses. You look at Chicago. You look at the short burst, the short area, you know, quickness with some of the wide receivers. They can create their own offense. Miss tackle, step through a guy, spin move. We don't have that guy. You know, Drake London is that guy. He catches all the 50. He's never covered. But outside of that, you know, Bijan Robinson, you mentioned, I don't know how many more times we can give him the ball, but we need more people, the DJ Moores of the world, that can create their own, Amon-Ra St. Brown, create their own space, create their own offense. We don't have that. If we get behind the chains, we're cooked.
Right. And that's the thing we talk, like, I hate to already be looking ahead to next year, but with the loss this week against Seattle, the playoff percent chance is 0%.
Correct.
But that's why when I said to Coach, I mean, you're right. He had 20 carries, two targets. I think it was four targets for two catches. Just maybe because Mooney is so inconsistent, using him in that role, having Algier in the backfield. I don't know. Just trying to find some playmaking to the point you just made, where Sills makes that touchdown catch 2 weeks ago, then drops the ball on the final drive.
Yeah.
You know, and we talked about Mooney. I coach kind of touched on a little bit, but to me, that's where we're at. You got a good route. You get what you're looking for, the way the play was designed, but Mooney runs out of bounds on the touchdown.
I mean,
and that was a huge moment. Could have been a big moment of the game.
You always use the term comedy of errors, right? It comes from a comedy of errors. It's not always one thing. It's a million things. We don't have the depth. And I know a lot of questions have been asked about Kadarius Hodge or Casey Washington being inactive over the last couple of weeks, and Kadarius was back out there this weekend, but I don't necessarily think, Mike, that it has so much to do with special teams. I think you look at Devin Tompkins, you look at him as a returner, and you've tried to feature him on offense. I think he can simply do more. Kadarius Hodge, he had the big play against Tampa last year on the Thursday night game. We haven't seen him offensively.
So
right?
He gets in the doghouse and nobody knows what the heck happened.
I think it has just as much to do with your offensive culpability at wide receiver as it does special teams.
Right.
And I know special teams is a part of it. You don't just pull a guy, a Pro Bowl special teams player, off special teams. But I do think that added into it, you need a returner. You need somebody who can make a difference on offense, a guy who can create their own, you know, kind of spacing like I talked about. I think Devin Tompkins has been that guy. I think they're just trying to find ways to generate home run plays and chunk plays on offense. And maybe Kadarius Hodge just happened to be a guy that was a little bit in the doghouse. And then when he can't make those plays offensively, all of a sudden somebody else starts stepping into that role.
Pro Bowl, you know, special teamer, of course, made the catch the Thursday night game last year, you know, against Tampa Bay for the touchdown. So we know that's a playmaker, to your point. But just like everything else this season, something's just off by 5% in his game, so he's not on the field.
Well, and you know, I don't want to go back too far here, Mike, but this is the first time you and I have ever had a chance to work together, right? Which I'm really excited about. I appreciate you guys having me. I always said if I ever got a chance to do sports radio, because I did start dialing it in this town. You know, we were talking about it earlier, the old days, the old station, things like that. I played from 2010 to 2014 up here in Flowery Branch, right? And I always told myself if I ever got a chance to do sports radio, I would try to point out that a lot of times football is just like every other job, right? That you have Carol from accounting. She's over at Jenny, who runs the books. You know, Jenny makes an accounting error and costs the company $200. You know, you're mad at Carol because she's managing Jenny. And then all of a sudden, Johnny, who's the manager over the whole section, you start getting mad at him. There's just so much blame to go around when there's issues in an office building. And it's the same way in a football locker room. You know what I mean? There's a lot of different people to point at. And, you know, it's just one of those things, starting to iron those things out and make sure you have all the right people in the right place.
But to your point, it's kind of the argument we were making on Monday's show. It's just there's a malfunctioning piece of equipment in this operation. It happens to be special teams, and they just can't seem to get a handle on it.
Well, let me stop you right there.
Week after week after week.
And let me stop right there, because it's kind of what I'm talking about. I don't think you can look at it as a piece of equipment. To me, it's because it's – and this is what I always
– Or just the sales guy who always screws up the account when you send him out to the dealership.
Exactly. And maybe you have 10 years of history with the sales guy being great. Maybe the sales guy messes up the contract, but he can close on anybody, right? So you're going to keep him around because he can close any deal, but he's going to mess up the minute details every now and then. So it is – it's personality-driven. When I hear Raheem, Mike say – you know, stats are for losers. I don't necessarily hear the actual stats are for losers. I just hear him saying it's not fantasy football, right? It's not like we can just plug this guy in. And on our team, the wide receiver actually has to talk to the quarterback. You know, it's not in fantasy football. So, I mean, it's interesting to look at this team. It can be studied, I think, over and over again where the deficiencies are, because they've gone from just having a couple at the beginning of the year to now it feels like almost every position group's got one.
And the worst part about – and we said this yesterday as well on the show – it's – the division is so winnable this year. That's the thing. Those five games in the losing streak, the Berlin game, just two or three plays is the difference right there. If Pitts catches the touchdown pass, if maybe you still keep rushing five instead of four and Daniel Jones doesn't pick up all that yardage.
Yeah.
The special teams gaffe, which creates the short field for the Colts, you know, to set up the tie. You know, I thought in San Francisco, the penalties, you know, too many men, not enough men when you got McCaffrey with the rock. That's why, you know, Barcells, the famous adage, you are what your record says. We earned that. We earned our four.
I agree.
We earned our 4-9.
I agree, man. It's been tough to watch. There's no doubt about it. Imagine doing the post game like I do.
Yes.
It's not a lot of fun.
It's kind of a one note. Hey, man, a guy, he's not a malfunctioning piece in the office. He's gold. That's Day-Day. You can join Day-Day, our man Damian, for Prep Sports Nation. Comprehensive look at the teams and the athletes making all the news in high school sports across the state. He's been a great resource with everything that happened with Gainesville over the last few weeks. It's brought to you by Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. That's Prep Sports Nation Wednesday nights right here on 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, we'll come back. We'll do the daily download. Talk about what was just a, man, no other way to describe it, a god-awful performance by Jalen Hurts on the biggest stage.
Brutal.
We'll dive into it next, live from Falcons headquarters.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
It is Dukes and Bell with our guest host. It's Mike and Friends, as it takes a village to replace Carl when he takes a long vacation. Here on 99 The Game, live from the Ticketmaster Studios. Mike, you're here, of course, on the morning shift. I'd steal him for another day tomorrow, and then back to your duties on Thursday doing the post game.
Sleeping in's been good.
How nice is that?
Dude, took the kids to daycare today for the second time this entire calendar year. They were so confused when I woke them up this morning. They were like, Daddy, what are you doing here?
I do not miss morning drive radio, man.
I love it, dude.
I love sleeping in.
I love doing the morning.
Get your whole day
once you're out
the door.
Yep.
9.
9 a.m.
Right.
It's like, all right, see y'all later, man.
I'm sure this guy's got a 24-hour day because he is the coach of the Conference USA Champs. We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, and it's great to get him on as he is now on his way to the Myrtle Beach Bowl with his Owls. Jerry Mack, ask yourself, who's DeMack? First off, congratulations, Coach, on that big win over Jacksonville State. And do you have to answer this because I don't want to get you in trouble, but yes, I put my money where my mouth is. I bet on the Owls, and you didn't let me down on Friday night. Congrats.
I appreciate it. You're exactly right. I have no comment on that statement.
I will say this, though. That game, there was a lot of ups and downs and big momentum shifts. You know, I mean, I know you get the safety and then they had the fumble. And is it just a testament to your coaching staff, how the guys kept their cool?
Well, it's a testament to the players. You know, we talked about it at the beginning of the season. You know, something's good is going to happen. Something bad is going to happen. We got to be able to ride the emotional roller coaster of how a game, the ebbs and flows of a football game. And, you know, we captured the momentum with the safety and then lost the momentum on the opening kickoff return after the safety. But the guys stayed focused. They continued to work, continued to pound, and they just kept believing. And when we had an opportunity to close the game and win the game, we flipped the field and drove the ball down the field. And, you know, obviously the rest was history.
Coach, I want to ask you, bring you in on a conversation we were just having with Raheem Morris just a minute ago. He just left the studio, and I was kind of asking him what his coaching style is, and particularly for him, it was after a big loss this past weekend. But what's your coaching style that, you know, who was your kind of mentor in the business that you kind of leaned back on and taught you how to react, not only after, you know, big victories, but big losses and some of the big moments you guys have had this season?
Yeah, just so many different people. I've learned so much from all the different people that I've had opportunity to touch. I think one thing I've done is I've studied a lot of different coaches and a lot of different coaching style as I've molded mine. And I think you got to do what's best fits your style and your personality. You know, I worked for Doug Peterson with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Obviously, you know, he won a Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles. I had an opportunity to work with Mike Bloomgren, who worked under David Shaw, and kind of have that vision on how to build some programs as well. So it's just been so many different people. I've had a chance to do NFL internships and sit in buildings and see how Rex Ryan, when I was doing my first internship with the New York Jets, inspired the group. So, man, I've just kind of took dibbles and dabs and different pieces from everybody and just kind of what best fits Jerry Mack. And at the end of the day, you know, I consider myself a player's coach and a coach's coach. And when I say that, I mean that my job is to try to give the coaches everything as possible to make sure that they can be the best version of themselves to get their group to perform at the highest level. And from a coach's and from a player's coach perspective, my job is to try to make sure the players have everything they need in their power to make sure they can perform the best. So, you know, I'm just, you know, it's kind of servant leadership. You know, I'm around the building trying to figure out what needs to be done, what do everybody need so I can make sure they have it. And they just use me. And I love to be used like that and just kind of continue to inspire and lead.
Conference USA champion Kennesaw State is the head coach, Jerry Mack, with us here, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. Speaking of resources, when you're in a school like KSU, to get those guys in the changing landscape of college football, you know, Amari Odom came over from Wofford. How does that look, and how do you build on the success for next season?
Well, you got to keep recruiting. I think no day you come in this building right now, just, you know, in this break that we're talking on the phone, we're sitting here looking at guys that have already decided they're going to go into the portal. We're looking to continue to look at the high school guys who are going to sign in the second period of the high school signing. So, like, you just got to continue to try to build the talent around the building and continue to bring good talent in the building. We understand the transfer portal is real. We understand guys are going to leave for potential other opportunities. But we also understand there's some guys out there that want some opportunities to play at Kennesaw State. And it's our job to try to find those young people and try to bring them in our building that best fits us.
Yeah, I'm curious to get your – you know, input from that standpoint. I've heard a couple college coaches kind of say here recently, it's like, hey, we understand, you know, where we are as a program, and we tell guys all the time, like, look who we've sent to bigger Division I programs. Now, I don't know that that's necessarily the message that you put out, but, you know, look, I'm buddies with Antoine Petway. He's another Bama grad just like myself. I talked to him a good bit, and I think that that's probably some of the stuff he's going through over there at Kennesaw State. So what's the message to guys as you try to bring them in, some guys that might be lesser known, to say, hey, we'll give you an opportunity over here at Kennesaw State?
I think that's the key word. The key word here at Kennesaw State is opportunity. And everybody is different in their development, in their growth. You have some guys that have been at those Power Four schools that wasn't receiving as many reps or opportunities as they would like. So they've been in the glitz and glamour. They got the big dollars. And, you know, they feel like, hey, that was not for me. I want a place where I can go and have success and win. And then you got the guys that are from smaller schools that, hey, look, they never did get recruited a certain way, or they want the glitz and glamour and they want to feel a certain way. And, you know, they decide to move on from our place and go somewhere else. So there's so many moving parts. I think one thing people got to understand, every young person's hopes and dreams are just different. You know, there's a lot of kids, they're not chasing money. They truly are chasing an opportunity to get on the field and come play now for a conference champion. And those are the guys that we want to find. We want to find those guys that's hungry, because you can make all your hopes and dreams come true at Kennesaw State. You just got to get in the building and see.
I won't put you on the spot, but your continued success gets people looking at you for other jobs as well. Next job for you is coming fast, man. 9 days away, Western Michigan, Myrtle Beach Bowl. What do you know about these guys? Because I know you're recruiting, you're talking to us, but you also got to get ready for bowl games. I know you want to get that 11th win.
Yeah, I mean, this is a physical football team we play. When you look at their team, when you look at the part of the world they're in, they have big, strong, physical men. They play a different style of football than we play down south. They're going to try to impose their will, and they still have enough athleticism to play in space. So, like, they're a conference champion as well. You know, Coach Lance Taylor, me and him have known each other 15, 20 years or so. So, like, they're a well-coached team, and they are building their program. I think this is their second bowl in a row. So, you know, they're doing some things at a high level right now.
Yeah, you're speaking about Lance Taylor. I just mentioned Antoine Petway, who's a Bama grad, Mike. Lance Taylor was at Bama the same time as Antoine Petway. They go back a long way as well, Coach. So that's funny, kind of bring those guys up. And how big is the opportunity to go through a bowl practice, right? I mean, I think that that was one of the biggest things for me when I was playing. It's like bowl practice is almost like an extra training camp before you get to the spring, right? You get a chance to get those 3 weeks and understand and identify the talent you have moving towards the next season.
Oh, man, we love it. We love an opportunity to get out there and continue to develop some of those guys that, you know, we felt like or feel like could be really good players for us next year. Matter of fact, tomorrow and the next day, we call it what we have, the Dust Bowl. And it's going to be all the young developmental guys. And we're going to put the ball down and we're going to let them scrimmage for about 20 plays and see who's kind of came along this past year.
Well, hey, man, we're glad to have you on the show a few weeks ago. It looked like you had a chance to win the conference. You win the conference. Now off to the bowl game. Continue success, Coach, and have a great holiday season.
Good stuff.
No problem. Appreciate you guys.
You got it, man. Jerry Mack right there from Kennedy. And again, we talked about it. You know, UCF, that's how they started, as, you know, air quotes, you know, commuter school. And then getting the passion. Georgia State has tried to do it, and they've had some bumps in the road. They've got the facility. Now I saw somebody the other day on Twitter. It's like, you need to expand the stadium. And
yeah.
I know. Action at the fraction. Fifth, I was like, baby steps.
Fifth, third bank. He's become fifth, fourth.
But it does, right. It gets more people fired up. And that's how the schools like UCF or USF got to be who they are.
It is interesting, too. And anybody who doesn't understand this, Antoine Petway is the head men's basketball coach at Kennesaw State. He came from Alabama. He was there, you know, for a good amount of time when I was in school. I think he graduated maybe a year or two before I got there, 03, 04, was in the Elite Eight, the whole big thing with him. And Lance Taylor's the same way. Western Michigan, they're playing in the Myrtle Beach Bowl. They were about the same age at Alabama. I'm sure that they're good buddies going back to then. And they both kind of have ridden a similar path to their coaching careers in two different sports. So it's interesting to kind of get that intertwined.
And I don't want to put him on the spot because, you know, he's savoring the victory and all this. But
sure.
Needless to say, when you do win a conference championship and you are climbing that ladder, he was linked to Tulane for a minute after they lost their head coach. He also lost a link to USF. Brian Hartline ended up getting the USF job. But if he continues to build on that success, he will – that's the reality of being Kennesaw State. You will eventually lose your guys like you did in basketball a couple years ago.
It just is what it is, right? I mean, and I think that you have to answer those questions. Right. You talk about bringing guys into the portal. I think that that's one of the first things you have to deal with, right? The portal's wide open. They're coming and going, hey, I want to come to Kennesaw State. Are you going to be here? You know, everybody's telling me that maybe you're going somewhere else or there's all these other jobs open, this, that, and the other. And anytime you have success, and unfortunately for this kind of program, it's kind of what you're striving for. You want to get a guy hired up, right? That means you're doing really good things in the window you had with him.
Right, but that's the beauty of, I mean, the flip side for the folks who want, I mean, I do want my old college football back. It's that toothpaste does not go back in the tube.
Buddy.
That world is gone. But because you can now offer some things that you never had before legally to get guys to come to KSU and you have a winning program, then you can build on.
First of all, let me just tell you this. I never took a dime for anybody. I will put my hand on the Bible right now. Never took a dime for anybody. But having Rusty Menzel in studio last week on signing day, Rusty's like, do you want to know what your value would be? No, right. Rusty, I don't.
Right.
I don't want to know what my value would be. It's going to make me sick to my stomach.
Right.
They make more nowadays as freshmen in college than I did when I was a rookie in the NFL, Mike.
We were joking around. It's funny because we talked to Chris Lindstrom last week, and this week's guest, the other side of the line, will be Bergeron. He'll be coming in. So we're looking forward to talking to him. He's one of our favorite guests. But Chris Lindstrom was saying, you know, if there was NIL, no, he loved Adazio at BC. He was, like, totally locked in. And was like, well, look, I had a lot of offers, too. But he loved the idea of going to Boston College, which becomes the offensive line factory that it's been for decades. And so he said, no, it wouldn't matter. That was his school.
I think that when I look at it, it's not so much the NIL for me. It's the way the transfer portal is now. That's what I really focus on. Because I got recruited under Mike Shula. He gets fired. We go for a month plus thinking maybe Rich Rodriguez is going to be – you remember that?
Right.
Rich Rodriguez is going to be our head coach. Oh, and he turns it down during bowl season, during those bowl practices I was just talking about. And it's – I can't promise myself going back that I wouldn't have, you know, at least dabbled in a transfer portal window. You know what I mean? So it's interesting, and obviously had to stick it out. Nick Saban gets hired at the end of January after saying, I will not be the Alabama head coach. But he ended up coming to be the Alabama head coach, thank God. So it is what it is.
Hey, man, we'll do an expedited version of our daily download this hour of the show brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. Let Wise Guys lights brighten your holidays. Let the pros do it, man. Now it's time. Get the lights up. So last night I'm watching, and it's funny because I had an investment in that game. Omarion Hampton coming off the IR for the Chargers. I needed just a little bit. I need a little bit.
A little magic.
I had a slight edge over A.J. Brown. You know that A.J. Brown's never going to get the rock like he should
with
the Eagles. But watching that game last night, defense is getting after the Eagles sack, if you didn't see it, Herbert, seven times. But, man, and again, Carl and I have had this conversation with people a lot. Hurts has won a Super Bowl. He looked great, making all the throws you need to make to win that Super Bowl and the playoff games. But then he has things like you've seen this year, and it's like Lamar Jackson. Neither one is passing the eye test. He really struggled. The tip ball at the end is what it is.
Yeah.
But, man, Hurts, he's in a bad rut right now.
I've seen this version of Jalen Hurts going back as far as I can remember. Jalen Hurts, when he was a freshman at Alabama, was the SEC Offensive Freshman of the Year. Or I'm going to say the Offensive Player of the Year back at Alabama. And then it's you keep going. You don't see the growth. You see a down game. You see a game where there's 100 yards passing. And then eventually it kind of bites him in the butt, and that's when you bring Tua in and halftime the national title game, because that's the version of Jalen Hurts you saw in the first half. It's just kind of been what Jalen Hurts is, and I give him a ton of credit. Mike, I love his personality where he steps up to the podium and he says, look, you know, I got to put more on my shoulders. It is what it is. I got to lead this team.
Right.
So you got to love the guy, but eventually he's got to play a better brand of football.
Unreal. And N'Kobe Dean had Herbert dead to rights on a blitz. He's able to move, and Herbert's not 100% either.
How crazy is it? This guy plays 7 days after hand surgery.
Right.
I mean, it is insane that we have
come
this far.
I remember Steve DeBerg one time had like the giant extended finger years ago if you're a certain age. And we've seen guys with these crazy braces. But you're right, Herbert, man, is toughing it out.
This is nuts.
Story two for the Daily Download. Haynes King is named the ACC Offensive Player of the Year by the AP. You worried about Tech without Buster Faulkner? Or, you know, it's good for Florida, but you know, I hate to see Brent lose a guy like that. And the resource course, Haynes is gone. No more eligibility.
Full disclosure, I actually coached, and Day-Day knows this because he keeps up with these guys, I actually coached Georgia Tech's left tackle all through high school. Ethan McKinney's his name. He's number 78. He was so stoked when he got my college number. He was like, Coach, you're not going to believe it. He gave me 78. So Ethan McKinney was one of my kids. I consider him almost a son when looking back on his time throughout high school. But, yeah, I think you'd be lying to yourself if you're not concerned. Right? Buster Faulkner in a lot of ways felt like that program. So did Haynes King. So I think you're split 50-50 on how you feel about either one of those guys exiting. But unfortunately, they both exit at the same time, and you know, Brent Key's going to have to pull a rabbit out of his hat to kind of keep that thing going.
Right on. LSU, we found out. Oh, by the way, I saw Lane Kiffin on social media. Go get it. Go win it. Yeah, whatever. LSU assistants returning to Oxford. The tight end coach, Joe Cox, wide receiver coach, George McDonald, Dane Stevens, slot receiver, adding to their offensive coordinator, who's able to coach.
Sure.
Along with Golding, who's taken over as head coach for whatever this run's going to be, starting with a rematch of Tulane, which we don't really need to see, but that's the first round.
Let the jokes fly about Lane Kiffin. He's going to get the bonus if they win, you know, this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. He's like, of course you're sending your assistant coaches. You got that bonus in line from LSU that you'll be paid out if they win. Honestly, and I haven't got a chance to talk to you about this. The whole thing's unfortunate. There's not a good part of this. It's unfortunate that the schedule lines up the way it is. It's unfortunate that he leaves. It's unfortunate they have to go back. And it's unfortunate those kids had to be coached by coaches that are kind of dead in the water going, hey, we'll see you later.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how you go through bowl practice as a position coach and go, hey, do it harder. But also, if you don't, I don't really have anything to tell you because I'm leaving. I'm leaving in 2 weeks anyway.
It's almost like it's crossed over into the surreal or the bizarro world.
It's crazy.
And I saw. I mean, everybody said the same things about, you know, this last 72 hours of college football. The bowl games are like, oh wow, Notre Dame just dumped out of a bowl game. Yeah, because the bowl. Everybody knew the bowl game was going to be the
it
big casualty, and that's why they're going to have to go to 16 game playoff and maybe take some of these. As much as we like these on campus games, you got to make the bowls viable. And the only way you do that is by pumping these off. You got to take it back off the campus and put these games into neutral sites. Otherwise, the whole bowl system goes out the window.
Well, and I think the biggest problem here, guys, is that you have 82 teams playing in the postseason.
Well,
you know what I mean? That's a little bit inflated.
Well, the other part of it is, you know, commerce, we've now, just like in March Madness, you're rewarding mediocrity.
Yeah, exactly.
To your point, there's too many bowl games.
Yeah, there's way too many. When they said that the 82nd team has been selected, it's Appalachian State. I'm like, do we really need 82? Have we gotten to a point where we need 82? It's all a money grab anyways, and so I think it's just kind of receding back into where it actually makes, hopefully, financial sense for everybody in the next couple years.
All right, man, we got our dude. Yes, that Johnson, Mike Johnson, filling in today on Dukes and Bell. A reminder that we got more fun with you with the Falcons and a Thursday night watch party at a great spot, Smith's Old Bar in Midtown. It's Turtle. Watch the Falcons battle the Bucks with Chris. And, of course, fun and shenanigans with Bud Light. Love the Bud Light football toss to win all sorts of prizes. Freddie the Falcon cheer team is going to be there. Bud Light shenanigans and prizes and a chance to win an all-inclusive trip for two to Vegas to compete for Super Bowl tickets. How sweet is that? Again, guys, Falcons gear, fun and shenanigans with Chris Turtle Thomas at Smith's Old Bar Thursday night. We'll come back. We got a 4th-and-1. Old Man River. Back to the Colts.
Crazy.
You can't make this stuff up.
Crazy.
Live from the Branch.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.